items in which we have people here to speak, and I want to try to take those in turn quickly so that they can get back to their lives and so the council can deal with those. One is 1043, and the other is 1048. So without objection, I'm going to take 1043 first and then jump further into the regular agenda from there. So let's take... Okay. So let's take 1043, please.
1043, authorize a grant agreement with Legacy Health to support the construction of the Unity Center for Behavioral Health in an amount not to exceed $500,000.
Folks,
hey, folks. I know there's a lot of discussion, but if you could have it outside, we can keep moving. Okay, so we have Ellen Osenak from the City Attorney's Office and Dr. Mike Newcomb from Legacy here. Thank you for waiting. And folks, can we hear the folks that are here to speak, please? It's a gregarious bunch, these trails people. All right, Ellen, take it away, please.
Hi, Ellen Osenak from your city attorney's office. I'm the senior deputy city attorney and the lead attorney on the DOJ settlement agreement. I've just been asked to briefly introduce this topic, how it relates to the DOJ settlement agreement, but I want to stress from the outset that this project is over and above what is required by the DOJ settlement agreement and represents the city's effort to be a good partner. But it does relate to the settlement agreement in that the city agreed to participate with its partners in the healthcare community to explore the possibility of creating more community-based mental health services. As you all are aware, and members of the public probably are aware, the responsibility for providing community-based mental health services rests with the county. But nevertheless, as part of our settlement with the Department of Justice, the city, of course, has an interest not only in providing for its citizens, but also in being an effective partner in the provision of our police services with regard to people who are experiencing mental health crisis. And a component that we do not control is the resources in the community for community-based mental health services. And so we memorialized in our own agreement our commitment to continue working with partners to provide those services so that our police reform efforts would be more successful and the citizens in our community would have access to the important community-based mental health services that would both treat, prevent, and hook them up with services to address their mental health crises. And so I'm very pleased to have this come before you today and so pleased that Legacy has been such an amazing partner, and that's all I have to say, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you all might have.
Great. Thank you. Good morning and welcome.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, thank you very much for having the opportunity to talk on this topic of Unity Center for Behavioral Health today. I'm Dr. Mike Newcomb, the Chief Operating Officer for Legacy Health. And just to give you a quick update, since I think we've met with all of you and you're familiar with the project, but the Unity Center for Behavioral Health is a collaboration between Legacy, OHSU, Kaiser, and Adventist to build a 101-bed inpatient mental health facility associated with a dedicated psychiatric emergency room where patients can be seen 24 hours a day, 365 days a year by mental health care professionals to include psychiatrists to be assessed, evaluated, and treated in a facility that's dedicated to treating nothing but patients with mental health conditions. In addition, this facility will provide space for many of the community mental health resources that exist right now so that they can interact with patients before they're discharged, either from the psychiatric emergency service or from the inpatient facilities, so both the patients will know who is going to be following up, who they'll be following up with, and the organizations will get a chance to meet those patients before they see them for the first time. And then also, this facility will be staffed with peers, people who have actually gone through a mental health crisis themselves, have received additional training in how to interact with these patients, and will then act as the liaison with the patients once they're discharged to make sure that they're able to get medications that they need, that they're able to, that they're not having problems with those, that they're getting the services that they need on an outpatient, and then very importantly, to act as that liaison to make sure that the patient gets to that first follow-up appointment with the community resource that's going to be following up with. pleased to announce that the definitive legally binding joint operating agreement between Legacy, OHSU, Kaiser, and Adventist has been signed by all parties. We're moving forward right now as we speak with the architectural design of the Holiday Park facility for both the psychiatric emergency room and the 101 inpatient beds that we'll be equipping and building out there. About a $40 million project that Legacy is dedicated to raising through community resources. And I think it's very important to point out that this is not a project of Legacy, OHSU, Kaiser, and Adventist. This is a community-based project. We have many, many, many partners in this, to include all three counties, and obviously very, very pleased by the participation that the city has shown in this. The ancillary benefits of this entire project are many, but I think it's worth really mentioning that one of the things that we're really trying to do is to help decriminalize the people who have mental health problems. And consequently, it gives us an opportunity to work not only with the city police and the county sheriff's departments, but also with the EMS services, so that when our police and county sheriffs do interact with a patient who is exhibiting mental health problems, that rather than taking them and putting them in a police vehicle and transporting them either to an emergency room or jail, that in the majority of cases they'll be able to call EMS. EMS will then come and do a quick triage of the patients in the field to determine if they have a medical condition that might mean they really do need to go to a regular emergency room, but barring that, based on the protocols that have been developed with EMS, that they would then be taken directly to the psychiatric emergency room by EMS rather than by police or sheriff's vehicles. I think this is a huge step forward for the community, and it's a huge step forward, I think, for all of us. And we will see patients in the psychiatric ED or indeed in the inpatient side, regardless of their ability to pay and regardless of how they get there, whether they walk in or brought in by family members or friends, brought in by ambulance, or for that matter, brought in by police or sheriff's vehicles, will take them no matter how they get there. I just wanted to give you that quick update. Things are moving forward. We're pretty much on schedule, and we're looking forward to opening this grand facility and hope to see you all at that opening in November or early December of 2016. Great. With that, sir, I'd open to any questions you might have.
Questions for Dr. Newcomb or Fallon?
Dr. Newcomb, you mentioned the other counties, Washington and Clackamas mm-hmm. counties. Are they financially participating?
Yes, all three, Multnomah, Washington, Clackamas, are all financially participating in this as well.
And I just wanted to make sure on the beds, so people will spend more than 24 hours or not?
Actually, the intent of the psychiatric emergency room is to do that assessment and intensive treatment. The intent is within 24 hours to be able to make a determination about whether the patient can be safely discharged back to the community or whether the patient will need inpatient mental health services. And obviously, if the determination is made that they need inpatient mental health services, then they'd be admitted into the facility directly.
Into
the building. They're all in the same physical building.
101 beds. By the way, there's a Scrivener's error, which I'll deal with when we act on the ordinance itself. It's 101 beds total.
Yes, yeah. Yes, sir.
And so for a family member to bring another family member or to bring a friend, it doesn't require a police hold if they are objecting to coming in there, or does
actually we would continue to use safety holds or determinations of mental illness holds as is appropriate. One of the things that we're planning on building within this facility is a courtroom, if you will. It's actually a space where attorneys and judges can come in if a legal commitment needs to be made, an involuntary commitment. So we don't have to take the patient to the court. The court will literally come to the patient in this case.
Great. Thank you.
Dr. Newcomb, thanks for being here and taking the lead on this. I think this is a significant step forward, but there's still a gap. And the gap occurs when someone is discharged. And we're discharging people onto the street, in some instances, with no place to go. What do you see as the opportunity for the coordinated care organizations to collectively work with the state to identify some additional resources so that we could also focus on some legacy housing that is the bridge from someone being discharged to having a safe and stable place to live?
That's a great question, because you know the Unity Center for Behavioral Health doesn't solve all of the problems that we have with mental health, people with mental health conditions, and housing, one of the social determinants of health, if you will. Housing is a huge, huge issue, and I think many people, the city obviously recognizes that, the county, Multnomah County in particular, recognizes that, as does the state. We will continue to advocate for additional funds for transitional housing. Indeed, right before I came here this morning, Congressman Earl Blumenauer was touring the facility, and we had representatives from Central City Concern, and we were talking about transitional housing as something that we really do need from both for the state to address, and indeed the federal government, as much as they can help us with that. It's a big, big need. We don't have a pure answer for you, and I don't have an answer for you today about what we're going to do with people who are homeless, who are ready to be discharged and have nowhere else to go. But one of the we have over 20 work groups who are really working at various and sundry aspects of the Unity Center is how we're developing it and how we're going to be setting it up. One of those 20 work groups is a transitions work group. And that, as I was informed this morning, there are over 40 different organizations that are a part of the transitions work group. Many of them community resources like Central City Concern and Cascadia and LifeWork Northwest. I mean, they all have representatives on this work group. So we're trying to work together to figure out the answer to that question as best we can.
And that's very encouraging, sir, because I think this, you know, once upon a time we were hoping the Affordable Care Act had a housing dividend. We're still trying to work that out. Now we have some money in Salem that is redundant accounting that the CCOs have identified, maybe as much as $38 million. And I think you and Kaiser and all your peers understand that to the extent someone can be safely discharged and doesn't get back into your emergency care system or the high-cost system but is stabilized and then gets care, it's good for your business model, it's good for the community, and most important, it's over the long term better for the patient. So I hope that on this one we can hook up with the city's legislative agenda this year, because I think we may have an interesting convergence where the CCOs, the state, and the city all share the same goal in identifying those resources to provide the continuum of housing.
I couldn't agree with you more, Commissioner Fish, and I think that's a great idea. We will work with you on that.
Good. Well, and actually under our Home for Everyone consortium, the city, the county, the Housing Authority, Home Forward, and other partners are working together, and we have, of course, declared a state of emergency to highlight the issue and to move more quickly. And I know Chair Kafouri shares my belief that we should be working with you and working with all those partners to get the housing piece in place. We have a couple of distinguished state legislators in the room, and I noticed that Senator Burdick was following this discussion with interest, because I know she has the interest. So the legislature appropriated some funding last session for supportive housing for people dealing with mental illness. Can't think of a better project myself, and I hope they can't either, to make sure that those funds are applied to filling that gap, and so that instead of now we're getting people out of a revolving door of being brought to a general purpose ER in a police car, we're going to do better than that with this consortium. But as they leave, we don't want them to repeat that cycle of once again getting in the back of a police car and going to a general purpose ER or even back to the Unity Center. So this is an opportunity to break the cycle. We have to put all the pieces in place to actually do so. But this is really huge, and Commissioner Saltzman really highlighted this, that we have three counties, the city of Portland, four hospital groups, all doing more than we promised to do in our Department of Justice settlement. You know, provisions 89 and 90 say the United States expects that the city of Portland and its partners will do this, and we're doing it and more. And I'm really,
to be honest,
really
Mr. Mayor, this is a nationally unique project. Never before have four competitor organizations, counties, cities, community-based facilities, the state, all contributed and all come together to put together a project like this with these four elements in the project: inpatient services, emergency medical, behavioral health services, peer support services, community resource center. Nobody's ever done it like this before, and I think you're going to find that putting this together with, again, the continued work that we're going to have to do with some of the gaps that this isn't going to fill, people will come from across the country to look at this.
Mayor, let's be clear just though, we're not, I don't want Senator Burdick to break out in hives. We're not talking about general fund resources. We're talking about the equivalent in this discussion of the residual reserves that we tapped in our preservation agenda, where there was an abundance of funds in a reserve that HUD controlled that we liberated to do affordable housing. This is an example of an abundance of reserves that the healthcare organizations have had to set aside that could be tapped either legislatively or administratively to fund this housing. So that's the beauty of it. And it'll also have a positive impact on driving down healthcare costs.
I believe there's actually also some additional state appropriation involved, but we'll get into that later. This before us now is the process of authorizing this piece of the picture, which thanks to your good work and our partnership, we actually do have funded. So, thank you. So. Other questions, concerns, issues?
I want to thank you for your work on this. My husband and I started our careers in mental health care in 1986 in Portland. This is the first time that I have felt sincerely optimistic or cautiously optimistic that we might be starting to put together a system. As you have mentioned, it is only part of a truly gap-free system. One of the challenges is the lack of health care providers in mental health care. That currently, even if you have good insurance, if you call to get an appointment because you're feeling suicidal, it can take 3 months to speak with a licensed medical provider. I know you're having difficulty recruiting qualified psychiatrists to cover not only the Unity Center, but also the state hospital, all the other components of the system. And for all of its good intentions, this facility does decrease the number of adult beds available to serve the people of Portland. So I certainly commend the work that you're doing, particularly Dr. Chris Ferrantinos, who is leading it. I appreciate being on the steering committee or the cabinet that's looking at all of the issues, so because it is coordinating. It is going to take general fund revenue from the state and elsewhere to truly provide all of the pieces that need to be provided. You cannot possibly, as private providers, be expected to do that. It is groundbreaking, however, that the four of the private providers are partnering with input from Providence and others, and also that the public agencies are at the table valued, including communities of color. So I think Dr. Ferrantinos is doing a fantastic job. I appreciate the mayor dedicating some of our resources to it. There's a tendency to perhaps think that this is going to be it, that we're done after this, and it's not it. It's just part of it, and I really appreciate your partnership.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and thank you for those kind words about Dr. Ferrantinos, and I'll definitely pass those along to her. She has done a phenomenal job getting us to where we are today and getting us to opening, so thank you.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wants to speak on this item before we take action?
Mr. Johnson, Charles, you signed up last time.
It was continued from last week, so yeah. Charles, go ahead.
Good afternoon, commissioners. 4 minutes afternoon. I think we'll start with highlighting a remark Ms. Fritz made. I had the opportunity to receive services on the fourth floor of Legacy's Good Samaritan Hospital a few years ago. And so I do hope there'll be further public discussion about if we have 101 beds at a new facility, what does that mean? Does that mean that the beds at Legacy are closed and folded in and advanced? And what is the net loss for adult beds? I know that these systems, and I greatly appreciate Dr. Newcomb's involvement as a COO in making this happen when he's part of a large health system. But we also were benefited from Commissioner Fish's remark about the problem of discharge. When I was discharged from Good Sam's fourth floor, I was given some tickets to waive the $5 fee to sleep on the floor on a mat adjacent to another mat at City Team Ministries on Grand. Fortunately, I survived until the 17th when I actually connected with OHSU and got some honored citizen transportation. But the discharging is going to require everybody in this community to open their hearts and minds to make sure that when a person goes in for a psychiatric episode and has a psychiatric history, they don't have to spare change on the corners of Portland to get bus fare to go back and forth to their care. And that when they're discharged, it's recognized that they have at least a short-term disability, they need honored citizen fare, and they need at least 7 to 30 days of bus fare to get to and from their psychiatric support services. So I hope that when we look at the huge picture of the cost of this 101-bed facility and as it relates to the DOJ, we also look at the fine details of what are the likelihood of success for our neighbors based on the nitty-gritty of support and things like those. As you know, I often participate with groups that are set extremely high standards for city government, and mostly we have negative things to say about y'all, but I'm appreciative of this work done towards the Department of Justice settlement, as particularly as it concerns mental health people, and I hope that this energy will manifest and continue to flow to having a less racist, less problematic policing system for all of our citizens. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, let's take a roll call vote, please, on the
amendment. It goes to second reading because we pulled it back last week.
Is it second reading now, or I thought it was a previous agenda?
You pulled it back to your office.
It technically had its title read last week, so.
Yeah, I think we can vote this week.
Attorney, should we?
Yeah,
okay,
we
to
can.
Vote?
But before we do, there's a Scrivener's error on Section 1. It says 102. It should say 101 without objection. I'll consider that a Scrivener's error, and there's 101 acute inpatient beds in this facility. Always were, just we had the number wrong in the ordinance. So then since we're clear to take a vote, let's proceed and do that, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I really want to thank the City Council for our contribution to the Unity Center, but I really want to thank Legacy and OHSU and Kaiser and Adventist Hospitals for really stepping up and doing something that is so critically needed for this community, and to have the partnership with the other counties. This is going to be a great, great facility. We need to figure out the post-discharge housing, and certainly the Portland Housing Bureau stands ready to participate in those conversations and allocate resources as we may have available. But this is really an outstanding step forward, and appreciate your leadership, Mayor. Aye.
Hales.
I get to see the progress every day. I get buzzed about it on this thing in the middle of the night when our police officers, under our approach to mental health, which is so different now than it was before the Department of Justice settlement, day after day, night after night, we're de-escalating a mental health crisis. We've had 609 enhanced crisis intervention training incidents. Only one of them involved a use of force. That's amazing. And it's amazing progress in the Portland Police Bureau, and I want to salute the leadership of the Bureau for the progress that has been made. And I also want to salute Captain Mike Marshman and Mary Claire Buckley and my Police Bureau liaison, Deanna Wesson Mitchell, for working to help bring this idea forward. This is, as we heard here today, this is path-breaking work. This is not just going to be a national model. That's nice. It's nice to be a national model, but it's going to be much more humane and much more effective treatment for people that are in mental health crisis in our city. The last place somebody in a mental health crisis should be is in the back of a police car. And we're putting them there more gently now. That's still not good enough. Where they should be is in a facility like this, and they should be coming out the back door of this facility into supportive housing. So that's the vision that we're working towards. And thanks to this amazing partnership of hospitals and local governments, we're doing something really good here, and I'm really proud of our community, and I'm proud of this council for stepping up and funding our contribution in dollars to this effort. There's a lot more than dollars that we'll need to do next, but I really appreciate this, and I can't wait until this is how we're treating people in our community who need help. Aye. Thank you very much.
Commissioner, would like to vote?
Oh, sorry, Commissioner, you were out of the room.
So I'm very proud to this and the Unity Center for Behavioral Health. And also worth acknowledging that three of the four partners
have provided outstanding care to my family during tough times. So these are the right partners. And I look forward to the day that we can also support the Unity Housing that will provide the permanent supportive housing for people served in this center. Thank you, Mayor, and thanks to everyone who brought this day forward. Aye.
Okay, thank you all. Let's.